Yo, welcome to How to Write a Novel. So, even though my writing schedule has fallen off a cliff while I'm traveling around Asia, this whole podcast from day one has been about how important it is to write every day. And then I was like, oh, you know what? I guess now that I'm traveling the world, fuck all that. Fuck all that. After being trapped at home for all those years with COVID times and then finally getting to travel again, fuck all that. Writing takes up way too much space in one's brain, even if not that much time in your day. I don't want that in my brain right now. I want that gone. But, obviously, the writing every day got me this far. Got me to the point that the first draft of this novel is almost done. And even at this reduced pace, where I really only write when I'm on transit, which is, it depends. Sometimes it could be every day for a little stretch. Sometimes I go for a while without taking a train anywhere. But even at this reduced pace, where I really am just writing once in a while, I mean, I'm so close to the end that I'm ludicrously close to the end now. I'm so close to the end. Like, this is a weird feeling now because I've already planted my flag of, like, I'm taking a break till I get back to Canada. I'm not writing. Doesn't matter. I don't care. And yet, I mean, this whole podcast has been the story of the glacial pace becoming more glacial and more glacial and more glacial, but it just doesn't matter. It still gets done. Stuff still gets done. It's fucking amazing. Because, yeah, I am so fucking close now. I'm so close. It's, like, frightening. It's weird. But, yeah, I'm basically stopping in just each place that I travel to. It's like, well, let me at least do a podcast from each place, regardless of how the writing itself is going. So, last episode was Taipei. 10 thumbs up. I had a wonderful fucking time. I spent my entire 90 days just in Taipei, and I loved it. I would happily go back. I would happily take a stroll around Taipei tomorrow. But luckily, it's not like, oh, well, I'm back in Canada, and now I can only dream about Taipei and Jeju Island and all these different places. Because, I'm sure I said this before, but what happened was, I was going to go to Japan, then go to South Korea, then probably fly home, was the rough plan. But unexpectedly, South Korea has a 180-day visa agreement with Canada. Either way, Canadians and South Koreans can go to each other's country for double time. So I stayed double time. And by then it was summer, and the flight home was frightfully expensive. So I had to kill time and wait. So I went to Taipei, and I did book a flight home for January, which is half price. Still $900 Canadian. Not cheap. Not quick either. 17 hours of layovers and shit. But half price. It would have been double that. And I got to spend more time in Asia. So, after Taipei, it's like, well, let's see if I can go back to Japan. You know? I haven't been gone for a full year yet to reset the visa. But it's one of these cases where it was uncomfortable because they don't have it on the books. There's not official paperwork about whether or not you can come back for another 90 days. They want to keep it fluid just so they can turn people away. You know, if you seem suspicious or it seems like you're trying to sneak into the country to work and you don't have proper paperwork or you're pulling something. But I always heard about people doing this back in the day. Again, though, with COVID rules and stuff, who knows if things have changed. But, yeah, I'm just a guy with money to spend, with a passport from a trustworthy country, so they're just like, yeah, go ahead, just get the fuck in there. No one gave a fuck. So I'm back in Japan. Again, this feels like gluttonous. I thought, you know, it'd be a few years before I got to go back to Japan. But instead, here I am, another 90 days, then finally back to Canada. It's like, holy fuck. So I'm back in Yokohama, because that's where I ended last time. I ended in Yokohama before I went to South Korea. And I had this, like, feeling of how cool it would be to go down the coast. I kept going farther and further west down the coastline just to see how far I could get on public transit. And apparently you could just go further and further and further. And I was like, man, it would be so great if I could just travel down the coast and not have to travel back. A one-way trip. So I've been in Yokohama for a week or so. It's been very, very awesome. I love Yokohama. But tomorrow, I gotta spend all day on trains heading down the coast. And then I'll be in some random place for a week. And then the next week after that, trains down the coast to another place. And I've got yet a third place booked. And I can only stay at each place for a week because the weekends are just when Airbnb gets gummed up. Places are always booked on the weekend. So once a Saturday hits, I have no choice but to leave, but it's probably not so bad. I think a week is probably plenty. And if any of these places are super great, I gotta come back eventually. I gotta fly out from Narita, so I might just end up coming exactly back on this route. But yeah, a little apprehensive, but also excited. This is gonna be cool. And, I mean, I got the entire day on the trains. Obviously, I'm gonna get some fucking writing done, you know? But even just around here, around these parts, taking the train in from the airport. I went to Chiba first, dicked around in Chiba for a bit, took the train to Yokohama, dicked around out here a bit, and in those little intermittent times of taking trains, get a little bit of writing done. And yeah, I mean, I'm still just writing the final chapter. But Qualum is gone. The ship explosion has finished. It was really surprisingly hard to write that explosion, but I guess I talked about that when I was on Jeju. The Virtue of Dog Fucking episode. and now it's just Surratt and the Acomulon packed together in a little pod. And the Acomulon's asking her, so now what? Now what is the plan? And she says, like, well, I'll just go rendezvous with my fellow Therium. What little handful of them were there on the station, who she now has tucked away on a long-range ship awaiting her. And the Acomulon's going to be like, yeah, that's not what I'm asking. I know that. I mean, what is the plan? What is the plan? And she has to admit that she doesn't know. But, you know, the other Therium, they're older than her. I don't know. They'll probably have a plan. Maybe they know some enclaves of Therium. Whatever. Who knows? They'll figure something out. But then they're just going to fly up and rendezvous. Big group hug. The end. And, yeah, it's like, it is almost scary in a, I don't know, in an apprehensive way. What's the word I'm looking for? In an anxiety way, because, you know, then the book's over. Then what? Man, then I gotta face down the fact that I have a completed first draft. And then I gotta edit that. Yikes, like that's a whole different gear, that's a whole different thing. Looking back at the totality of this thing and hoping that it's not just a piece of crap. Or I don't know, maybe it'd be better if it is a piece of crap and I could just say like, never mind this book. And then everything that comes from there, how do you get a book published, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, frig, frig. Holy crap, this is nice, right around the corner. I'm doing laundry right now. Last load of laundry before I leave Yokohama. I found this little mini laundromat away from, last time I did laundry was at a more major spot, and I was like, oh, if I went two blocks further, there's a little tiny laundromat with nobody in it. I'm gonna do that next time. So that's where I went. And yeah, right around the corner from there is a Buddhist temple. I sort of say temple and shrine interchangeably, but They do mean different things, but it's a little hard to untangle. It's not that late either. It's like 6:30, 7, but it's pitch black. It's so dark here at night. But yeah, it's literally at the point that like this could end at any time. There's so much less to do than I even like I'm aware, I think. You know, like it could be tomorrow. Could be on this train ride. It's just gonna be over very soon. And it's like, fuck me. What a weird feeling after all this time. But kind of remarkable too, of just like I built up so much momentum with this daily habit for years and years and years that even when I stop, when I'm just like, I'm done, fuck it. I'm not even trying anymore. And it's still just happening. The fucking book's almost done. It's like, fuck, shit. God damn, that's weird. So yeah, that's the update. I don't know. It's like it's like when somebody is super pregnant. It's like the baby could come any day now. That's how it feels. Except I suppose in this case, maybe the baby will still just chill out for 2 more months. Maybe I can just somehow find a way for this to take forever. But it's coming. It's almost here. This is quite eerie. There's like these rocks here that are like mainly a natural rock formation, but it's kind of been carved so that there's like lion-looking creatures sort of all around the rocks. But the lights are very dim in Japan. Much, much darker than other neighboring countries. Like, the outdoor lights in Taipei, it was like I was in a mall. It was like it was daytime when it was nighttime. It's not like that in Japan. In Japan at night, it feels like a Japanese horror movie. It's very dim and scary. It makes this temple look very creepy. Big torii gate and everything, though, it is very beautiful. Oh, so if there's a torii gate here, then this is a shrine. This is a Shinto shrine. This is not a Buddhist temple, unless it's both. There are times when it's both. But yeah, I also wanted to yammer beyond just to do a little travel update. Like, hey, I'm back in Japan. Hoorah! But just going to the laundromat was making me think how, I've always enjoyed laundromat days. I love just these downtime days. In fact, if I wasn't walking around recording this podcast right now, I should probably be sitting in the laundromat doing writing. See, if I was in more of the writing mode of, like, I do need to make sure I write every day, that's what I would be doing for sure. That's perfect downtime. Like, that's what I like about laundry day. I love that enforced downtime. It just feels kind of good. It's like you have no choice. You're just here. You just gotta wait. Perfect time to do some writing. But again, since I'm not in that mode, that's probably not going to happen today because I just walked by. I've only got 24 minutes to wait. That'll get eaten up fast as I yammer. But this going to the laundromat, especially it's a Friday night tonight because, again, Saturday is the day that I always got to pack up and leave an Airbnb because somebody else booked it for just the weekend. But yeah, I love that Friday night, not only am I doing laundry, I'm not even doing laundry at the happening laundry place where everybody's doing laundry. I went out of my way to go further to this little laundromat where there's nobody. And it's so quiet and nice and calm. And it's just like, I do love it. I love this shit. I love fucking laundry day. And I love travel days. I love just getting on the train and going somewhere. I mean, it's going to be a little excessive tomorrow. And, you know, I'm not totally sure it'll all work. I've never gone that far on the public trains before. I'm going to Yaizu. Y-A-I-Z-U. But generally, these calm downtime things are what I like. And it just made me think that maybe because I've been traveling by myself for a year, it's finally starting to get to me a little bit, maybe, that I've just been by myself for a year. I mean, I'm an introvert, but this is a little much. So my mind started drifting to this scenario of, again, I guess, just funneling things through writing. Because if I just was to think about, like, a phantom relationship that I might have, that's just like, well, that's just sad. You're just traveling around all by yourself. That ain't gonna happen. That's just, that would be a too raw of an admission of the encroaching isolation that is surrounding you in your travels. Can't do that. Gotta protect the ego. Gotta protect the self. You know what I'm saying? So instead, just think of it as a story. Okay, what if it was a romance story? Let's think of this scenario in the context of a romance story. And it could totally work that way. Either as someone talking about the one who got away, or someone talking about their current relationship and why they like it so much. But what I was thinking is that this, it feels like a great litmus test for if I'm on the same wavelength as somebody. Like, in a very pedestrian, low to the ground way, this feels like, and this is like the most romantic shit I can think of right now, is I was thinking, like, if I was dating somebody and it's Friday night, and I'm thinking back to girls that I did date in the past and where they would fall on this, in this paradigm. But it's like, if there's somebody who wanted to go out and do stuff on Friday, it'd be like, oh geez, I'll make that work for a while. But in the long term, that is so not what I want to do. That is so not how I want my Fridays to be, that's not going to work in the long term. And then if I was to say, hey, it's Friday night, I'm going to go do laundry. And they were like, all right, cool, see you later. See you when you get back. You know, that's fine. That's neutral. But that is a little disappointing too, of just like, yeah, well, guess we're just both living our boring lives and doing our thing. I was thinking what would be like the perfect, most on my wavelength thing would be to date somebody who also liked doing laundry, who wanted to come to the laundromat with me, even though it's a like doubling of effort. Doesn't help to have two people at the laundromat. Doesn't make the laundry go any faster. But somebody who would want to come do laundry with me because it's fun to hang out at the laundromat, you know? Like somebody who would want to be in that little island of downtime where we're just trapped together doing laundry for an hour and we can't really go anywhere. Maybe a little stroll around the neighborhood like I'm doing right now. But that all the little details and different aspects of your life just kind of fall away because you can't do anything about them right now. You can't enact any big plans. You can't make any big moves. You're just stuck there right now while you do laundry. But that's like so fun. It's like one of the best times in life when you're just chilling out at the laundromat and just vibing, man. Just soaking in the vibe, just being with that other person and just enjoying their company. You know, it has nothing to do with the laundromat. It's the being stuck somewhere with somebody, but liking it, wanting to be stuck there with them. Oh, I forgot about this place. Yeah, there's like a shopping street here. Like one of the big, it's like a long shopping road that has a roof over top of it in case it rains or whatever. Yeah, I walked by here the other day and I was like, oh, I should come back and check this out. And I totally forgot. Well, here's my last chance. Leaving tomorrow. What time even is it? Again, it just feels like the middle of the night. It's so dark out. Yeah, it's only 7:30. Sweet. All right, well, I'm going to go take a little walk down this street. See what this is all about while I wait for my laundry. It's a little weird, too, because both of my jackets are in my laundry. And it's the weather's real up and down. It's definitely not t-shirt weather right now, but I'll survive another half hour. I'm Canadian, I'll be all right. But yeah, I was thinking back to like the girl I dated in New York would absolutely want to go out on a Friday and do stuff, you know? She fucking loved New York. She was made for New York. And yeah, predictably, that didn't necessarily work out in the long term because I didn't want to do that at all. Be more than happy to just stay at home and spend some time in our own little bubble. That would have been my choice. Whereas the girl I dated in Vancouver, we met at a coffee shop where we both worked. And yeah, if we had shifts that overlapped, you know, like if she worked from 7 to 3 and then I worked from... How did that work? 3 to 11? Man, that feels late, but I guess that is how it was. It was a 24-hour place. But yeah, we used to always just kind of overlap the shifts. Not just because it was like, maybe we wouldn't get an opportunity to see each other that day otherwise, but just because it felt good. It just felt good to just be, that one wasn't as good as the laundromat, you know, a nice quiet, just the two of us moment. Still all these freaking customers and job things you have to do. But yeah, just wanting to be in that little bubble with each other. But yeah, maybe all this is just a way to try to avoid admitting to myself that maybe I've been going to the laundromat by myself for a whole year, and maybe that's getting, maybe that's been a long time, man. Maybe that's been a long time. So even though it's only 7:30, things are shutting down around these parts. Now here's a pachinko place. Evangelion pachinko, man, it's so popular. Long-haired Ray. Ray with the long blue hair that never happened, as far as I'm aware, in any actual Evangelion stuff, only in pachinko. Yeah, my favorite street like this, I don't know if it's actually the best, it's just the first one I went to, but it's Oyama Happy Road by Oyama Station in northern Tokyo, in Itabashi. But yeah, these are handy if you just need stuff. Just need to get a belt, need to buy some slippers, need to get whatever. These shopping streets are pretty cool. But yeah, again, bringing it back to writing, though, I feel like that could be a good grounding mechanism, you know, or a good, what is a lodestone? What does a lodestone do? I'm trying to think of, like, things that anchor something, and terms are not jumping to mind. But a good way to, like, center things. If you're trying to write a relationship story that's working, you know, about an actual good relationship, I feel like that could be a good centering mechanism. Just imagine these two characters both at the laundromat, not because there was any reason for them both to go to the laundromat. In fact, there's every reason for them not to both go to the laundromat. It's a waste of somebody's time. But they want to. They want to do that. I think what I like about that too is, like, there's that line from Chasing Amy, the Kevin Smith movie that is probably not aged super well. There's a lot of weird stuff in that movie. But when they see this couple that are making out on the hood of a car, and, like, wow, look at that passion, you know? Ben Affleck's like, look at that passion. Now that's love. And Joey Lauren Adams is like, that's fleeting. Are you kidding? Like, that's like a desperate display. We want the world. We want to express to the world, look how in love we are, because deep down we don't believe it and we know it's not true. Whereas the nice little quiet going to the laundromat, man, it feels like a very indelible image to me. Man, this is cool. As I'm coming to the end of this street, you know, it's all brightly lit in here. But on the other side is the darkness of more city. But I just saw a train go by, you know, just fly by through the sky. So there's a train line out there somewhere. I don't know what train line that is or where that goes. There's another one that's going by. Just beautiful, man. I realized, too, now that I'm coming to the end of this, I needed a pretty big tip-off of a red flag with a yellow star in the middle. Like, oh, yeah, Chinatown is near here. Yokohama Chinatown is right by here. So this particular shopping street is China-centric. There we go. Coming out the other side. Well, my laundry must be almost done at this point. Although now I gotta take the long walk around. Ah, perfect. I still got another 15 minutes. 12, 15 minutes. So yeah, I'm just gonna take a walk around the block now. But anyway, there's some little updates, and that's what was on my mind. Laundromat. Laundromat romance. Man, I still think sometimes, too, about when I was in Fukuoka, and I had that idea, that romance story idea about these girls that live on this weird little peninsula island, much like the one I was on that day in Fukuoka. That one still crosses my mind a lot. And then if you go way back to my first trip to Japan, I had a whole big romance story idea based on the Russian airport when I was stuck there overnight. But since I'm just, like, not actively working on that story, it hasn't really gotten anywhere. But I still think a lot about the ending of it especially. I feel like I'm really, the ending of that I have very, very nailed down. So, you know, I'll get to it. That'll be one thing once this fucking book is over. Next in line is definitely The Knower, the story about the two girls trapped on an island, because that one is like 3/4 done. It's going super well because it's a much shorter book. So that's obviously moving to the pole position afterward, which again, is that the right term? Is pole position first or is pole position second? Or is pole, it's something to do with, like, with race cars, depending on where you're placed on the track is where you, who the fuck, I don't know. But yeah, eventually the airport romance story will move forward in the docket. And then these other romance stories, who knows if they'll come together or if they'll all be integrated, if some of these ideas can just be applied. You know, like, I don't need to write a romance story about people in a laundromat. This could just be in the airport romance story when the guy is just discussing the nature of different romantic relationships with someone. They could just talk about this as their example. I keep thinking too, I just can't get it out of my mind. The story about the island girl. What if I combined that with, like, a world where there's gigantic prehistoric bugs everywhere. Like beetles that are the size of a deer. And you got to carry shotguns around in case you need to shoot them. I really don't know how that would all combine. But my mind keeps going there. I think just because the whole environment of Asia is so different from Canada, where in Canada it's indoors or it's outdoors, you know? Because the weather's so harsh. There's no fuzziness. You're inside or you're outside. Batten down the hatches, lock all the doors and windows, boom, you're in. Where in Asia, it's such a flow. I mean, just that place I was at just now. That's just a street. You just wander in and then you wander out. In Canada, there would be walls and doors, you know? Yeah, there's a side entrance I'm walking by right now. It's just things are more porous in Asia. But due to that, and because it's warmer, the insects are a lot bigger and they're a lot more around, you know? If you just, you know, I'm surprised how rarely I see insects inside in Japan. Somehow they're kind of on top of it. But I did see quite a bit in South Korea and Taiwan, and that's where I was in the summer as well. So maybe that's just getting in my head of just like a world where just bugs are everywhere. But that's not like fun and exciting. That's creepy and unpleasant. But if you made them gigantic, that might be fun and exciting. Hey, yeah, you go on a date, you go on a meet cute, and uh-oh, giant fucking beetle with huge pincers is trying to kill you. I don't know, that's certainly not the kind of story I would normally write, but my brain just keeps going there, so I'm letting it percolate. But all right, thank you for listening to that rambling. Let's play, this is an old school Lemonhead song called Half the Time that I just happened to be listening to. I think they did like a re-release of this old album, you know, a remastering for an anniversary or something. Hadn't heard it in a while. So there's this song Half the Time. The Lemonheads is Evan Dando, who Evan Dando is, I don't know, man, he's had a lot of weird substance abuse problems and stuff in his life. He's a very sort of spacey guy. He's a weird interview, let's put it that way. But he's got an amazing voice, and he's a really good songwriter. And this song, Half the Time, I mean, it's such a great little turn of phrase of just like, you're furthest from my head half the time. Like, it's like, hey, don't worry, I'm on top of this. I'm not obsessed with you. I'm not thinking about you all the time. Half the time, I'm not even thinking about you at all. But the obvious insinuation here is, yeah, but that means half the time, a full half of your life, you're thinking about this person. That is a fucking lot, you know? Like lying to himself. Ah, it's half the time, I don't even think about that person. But then it's also interesting because the other part of that chorus is your one night slowly fading in my mind. You're furthest from my head half the time. So does that mean he only met this person once? Your one night slowly fading in my mind. To me, that's another very indelible image of just like, I mean, I can easily imagine that. What if you just have one magical night? You meet somebody through friends or something at some function. You hang out with them for the night. You don't really have a good way to see them again. It doesn't really lead anywhere. It was just one night. But you just can't stop thinking about it. You can't get this person out of your head. Evan Dando is so full of stuff like that, of like, you know, this little laundromat idea could come right out of a Lemonhead song. Like one of his lyrics is, she's the puzzle piece behind the couch that makes the sky complete. God, I probably brought that up before. I love it so much. I've been obsessed with that since I was a teenager. That puzzle piece, you know, your whole puzzle is done except that fucking one piece that's missing. The sky is missing a piece of puzzle. And then you find the puzzle piece behind the couch and the sky is complete. And that's her. It's like fucking shit. Like something about that, you know, rather than a grand gesture, it's just a pedestrian moment. It's a tiny moment. And I feel like that's so much more effective. That hits me so much more. I love that shit. And then just because it just came to mind, when I got into the Lemonheads, I soon after got into Juliana Hatfield because she was a Lemonhead on the Shame About Ray album. She played on that album. And the two of them always performed together and toured together. and have been kind of, their careers have been interlinked. And I found this Juliana Hatfield song the other day called The First Shiver. This one doesn't call to mind any specific images for me. It's just a beautiful song. It's so beautiful. And it was just in a collection of odds and ends that she had, just songs that didn't make it on albums. And it's just fucking incredible. It's like, what are you talking about? What the fuck? You know? I mean, as with any artist, there's tons of songs that don't necessarily hit me, but there's a whole shitload that do. And this is one of them, and I'd never heard it before. And it's not a new song. She put this out ages ago, but I never knew about it because it was just some random song that wasn't on an album. And it's like, what the hell, Juliana? Are you kidding me? This song is so good. Wow, so that worked out. So now as I step into the laundromat, 1 minute to go on the machine. Holy shit. So here's Half the Time by Evan Dando and the Lemonheads. And then The First Shiver by Juliana Hatfield. One song is upbeat, one song is quiet. Both songs are fucking awesome. Thank you for listening. Wish me luck on my journey down the coast in Japan. I'll see you next episode when, who the fuck knows, man, maybe this book will be done. Again, I don't know why you took a corner of my eye.
need.